Genesis 39 this evening, if you have your Bibles with you. We are going to continue in a little short series we're doing in the study of Joseph's life. Joseph, last week we saw how God was committed to fulfilling his purposes in the messiness of life, and we're going to now continue along that theme and not only see God's response to the messiness of life, but we want to look at this evening man's response to the knowledge that God has committed to his plans and purposes for us in the messiness of life. Chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, in fact the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Lord God, won't you just help us and give us what we need this evening to hear from you, Lord, that we might be able to live the lives, Lord Jesus, that you would want us to live in response to all that is going around about us, all that kind of flips our world upside down and turns our lives into a mess. Won't you help us, Lord, to be able to live through that victoriously, living close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow, we kind of remember and celebrate Youth Day. And it's just interesting in thinking about it that Youth Day is actually based upon a very messy time in our history of South Africans. We know of the events that lead up to the remembrance of youth and particularly of what happened those many years ago in our country. A messy, messy situation. A situation that flipped many lives over and caused a lot of distress, a lot of mess, a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of turmoil in people's lives. Dare I say, many, many are still living with the consequences and the results of that messy day in our history. As I said earlier, we looked last week at God's commitment to fulfilling His purposes in our lives despite the messiness of our lives, the lives we get, or the messiness we get ourselves into, or the messiness of life and how it impacts our own personal and individual lives. Tonight, we want to look at our response. How do we respond to God's commitment to working out His purposes in the messiness of life that we live in and are impacted from? I'm sure you noticed that four times in our passage this evening, we read those words that the Lord was with Joseph through the messiness of what he was experiencing. The Lord was with Joseph. And standing back thousands and thousands of years later, knowing maybe the full story of Joseph's life, maybe just even in response to what we've read this evening, we might even agree and say, yes, we can see how the Lord was with Joseph. However, put yourselves in Joseph's shoes thousands and thousands of years earlier. Put yourself in this young man who was probably 17 or 18 years old, and the things that he went through at that young age, could he say? Could he see the Lord's presence in his life? I doubt it. I'm sure there were moments where he cried out, God, God, where are you in this mess that I found myself in? Where are you? I'm sure there were moments in his life, in these situations, where he could see everything but God's presence in his life. Joseph grew up in a large family where he was the apple of his father's eye. For 17 or 18 years, he had received special preferential treatment in this family household in comparison to his siblings. You guys know of how the teacher's pet gets special treatment at school. Well, Joseph got special treatment from his father. He got everything he desired from his father. But all that changed in just a moment when his brother's jealousy and hatred towards him because he was daddy's little boy caused them to betray Joseph and sell him into slavery in Egypt. His life became a mess in a moment. From the good life at home, Joseph went to the hard life of slavery. Joseph went from being loved and embraced at home to being betrayed and abandoned, isolated from those that cared for him and loved him. Where was God in all this? Was God really with Joseph in this mess that he found himself in now on the way to Egypt? Did God give up on Joseph and his life? Well, verse 2 tells us that God was still with Joseph. He had not abandoned Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph every step of the way to Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph as he was bought by Potiphar and became a slave in his house. But what about Joseph again? Put yourself again in Joseph's shoes. Did Joseph see God's presence in his life then? I'm sure if Joseph is anything like you and I, Joseph never saw through all the mess around him. He never saw through all the emotional baggage he was carrying at this stage. I'm sure he saw the terrible life situation, the terrible mess that he suddenly found himself in and couldn't see much else. I'm sure he saw the life of a slave and he cringed, saying, "This is not my plan for my life. This is not what I envisioned one day my life would be like." I'm sure he saw the foreign culture and heard the different language, a foreign language, and he felt very alone. I'm sure he saw the satisfaction of his brothers' faces flash and images across his eyes, and he felt abandoned. He found himself a slave in the household of one of Pharaoh's officials, none other than the captain of the guard, the second most powerful man in Egypt. There was no way out of this. There was no rescuing him out of this desperate, messy situation that he found himself in. It was going to be a slave till he dies, is all that Joseph could see. Read on in our passage this evening that we find things maybe get a little bit bearable in Joseph's life, and he starts getting over and getting through the mess that he was experiencing. But just as things get a little bit better, then boom, suddenly the mess gets even worse. And he finds himself again in a situation where I'm sure we would all ask, "God, where are you in this? Where are you in this mess that I find myself in once again? Where are you in this situation in my life where all my plans and hopes have just gone poof in the air? In fact, I'm going in the opposite direction of what I would desire for my life. Where, oh God, are you in all this?" This time Potiphar, Joseph's boss, who had entrusted Joseph with everything in his household, except the food he ate, because that was a cultural thing, and obviously his wife, as we read a little bit later, he throws Joseph into prison for doing something that Joseph didn't do. Joseph was falsely accused of seducing his wife. We read that Joseph was well-built and handsome, just like myself. And why are you laughing, Joe? And of course, it didn't take long for Mrs. Potiphar to notice this well-built, handsome young man. And obviously, with more responsibility from Potiphar of working in his house, she got to see more and more of Joseph flexing his muscles and living in the house and working. And obviously, she was attracted to this young man, and she tried to seduce him into sleeping with her. But Joseph refused. She tried to seduce him, the Bible says, day after day. But Joseph refused day after day, even to the point of trying to avoid being in the house where she was. However, one day she cornered him and tried again, but Joseph was not having any of it, and he fled from her presence. Instead, he did, and he left his jacket behind by mistake. And well, Mrs. Potiphar, embarrassed, maybe feeling a little bit of a fool, decides to turn the story around now and fabricate a lie. And she uses the jacket that Joseph had left behind and tells another story about what had happened. And of course, she left her husband in no other place but to have Joseph thrown into prison for trying to seduce her. Unfair, unjust. In a moment, just when things are getting a little bit better in Joseph's life, it changes, and his life is flipped in a mess once again. Surely, a moment where he would cry out, "Oh God, where are you?" All Joseph can see is the things that have been unfairly taken away from him. All he can see is the false accusations that have been lumped on him and now him bearing the consequences of this mess. All he can see is a cold, damp, dark prison cell, which is under maximum security, for that is where he was placed, where the king's prisoners were kept. No way out of this mess now. No way out of being a prisoner for life. All he could see was the messy situation that he found himself in. Where is God's presence in all this, we might ask? Now I want you to just use your imagination for a moment and just think about your own life for just a few seconds. How would you react to this situation or situations similar? How would you react to being betrayed by your own family? How would you react when situations in your life kind of decimate the script or the plans for your life? How do we react when maybe our family let us down? How do we react when we're struggling with a subject at school and no one's there to help us? In fact, things are just getting worse and worse. And we find our grades plummeting. How do we react when we experience failure in the business place or amongst relationships? How do we react when we get sick or when we lose a loved one? How do we react when we feel like no one cares for us anymore? How do we react in moments where we see everything is a mess and we don't see God in it at all? Maybe I can suggest that sometimes we react by becoming downhearted. Sometimes we react by feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we react by wanting to just throw in the towel and say, enough's enough. Sometimes we say these words, oh, it's better if I just die. Or it's better if I just give up on this person or this plan for my life. We end up only giving up or giving half of what we can do and trying to achieve because our plans have been messed up. Our lives are suddenly not the lives that we desired for ourselves. We pout and we sulk. We have a bad attitude toward anybody and anything in our lives. And you know what? We're bent on trying to make other people's lives a misery because our life is suddenly a misery. However, we don't see Joseph doing this. We don't read about it, and maybe I'm sure he did have moments where, of weakness where he did kind of think and did feel a little bit down. But we don't read in the scriptures that this kind of attitude, this kind of behavior characterized his life in the messiness of the situations where he found himself in. No. We don't see Joseph sulking and making everybody's life a misery. We don't see him only giving of half of what he could give to the jobs and the tasks that he was given because, hey, he had been dealt a bad deal now and he wasn't going to make sure someone else benefits. No, instead we see Joseph serving Potiphar with all that he has. Everything Joseph did and was asked to do in Potiphar's house, he gave his all to it. He almost behaved like the messy situation wasn't messy, that he was designed and purposed for this very time and this very situation. Joseph didn't drag himself from task to task or barely do what was asked of him. No, he gave his all, just like he did back home, experiencing the good life with his father. Potiphar noticed this attitude in Joseph. He noticed that Joseph was unlike any other slave that he had purchased before. It would usually take years before a slave master would get his return on his slaves. But not Potiphar in this case. His investment in Joseph's life was suddenly reaping benefits for him because Joseph was working hard. working as if God had called him to be a slave there in Egypt. He did not mope around. He did not only do just what was required, but he went and over and above what was required. And God says, blessed him and gave him success in everything that he put his mind to, everything that he put his hands to. Potiphar simply could not ignore Joseph's work and his efforts and how it was impacting his household and his wealth. And so he gave him more. He entrusted to him more responsibility in his house. In fact, Joseph went from a slave to almost being the one in charge of Joseph, of Potiphar's house, the head slave, having people underneath him. He was promoted. We see the same from Joseph when he was put in prison unfairly. No moping around. No sitting in a little dark corner in the prison saying, woe is me, my life is ruined. No. Every time the guards came to him and gave him a task to do, Joseph did it with all his might. Like he was meant to be in prison then. No negative attitude. No resulting in trying to make people's lives a misery around him. And you know what? The prison wardens took notice of that. They saw in Joseph something different to the other prisoners. And they warmed towards him and they gave him more responsibility. They trusted more to him and they too reaped the benefit of Joseph's attitude towards the situation he found himself in. Joseph, although stuck in prison falsely, almost ran the prison for the wardens because of his application, because of his success in what he did. Quite opposite to the other prisoners. So different, I would imagine, to the way you and I would probably react to similar situations if they had come into our lives. But the question I want us to answer this evening is, what enabled Joseph to do that? What enabled Joseph to pick himself up after being betrayed, being dumped in a messy situation in his life, feeling abandoned, feeling falsely accused, imprisoned, all alone? What enabled him to live like it was meant to be? Like it was okay that he was in prison, falsely accused. That it was okay that he was now suddenly a slave in Egypt, away from his family, away from his father. What enabled him to be successful in what he did? What enabled Joseph not to have a hatred towards those around him? Well, we might stand back thousands of years later, and as we read the story, we might say, yes, it must have been that the Lord was with Joseph. But for Joseph, who couldn't see in the messy situation that he found himself in, God's presence, how? How could he be successful in this situation? Well, it simply must be that Joseph believed. Joseph trusted that the Lord was with him. Joseph chose to believe in that messy situation that he found himself in, where he felt abandoned by everybody, that there was one person that hadn't abandoned him. There was one person that only had his best for Joseph. There was one person that was still looking out for Joseph, even when his life felt like it was failing before him. He believed and trusted that it was his God. And Joseph lived out the truth that his God was with him in those messy situations that he found himself in. You see, Joseph was taught by his father and mother about the God who created all things. This God who is high and exalted above all things, but yet is here with us. And he's here with us because he desires a personal relationship with us. Joseph knew the promise that God had made his grandfather a few years earlier, that through his family, God was going to bless the world by bringing them back into a right relationship with him. Joseph remembered that the same God a few weeks earlier had revealed in dreams to him how he was going to use Joseph as a ruler one day to bring and usher in that blessing to his family and to the world. And so when the moments came, when his world came tumbling down, when his world seemed like an absolute mess, where his plans and dreams for his life were totally shattered, in those moments, he held on to his God and the promises his God had made to him. He put his faith in the presence of God. He trusted that God loved him. He trusted that God desired what was only best for him. He trusted that God is committed to his promises and his purposes in his life, no matter what comes to him. He trusted that God would work out things for his good. He trusted that God could even take the messiness of life. He could even take his slavery, could even take him in that dark, damp prison cell and bring about something good for Joseph's life. He trusted that God was still with him when all he could see was everything but God with him. Friends, I want you to notice that God honored that faith in Joseph's life. God rewarded that faith. But also want you to notice that God's honoring of such faith is not necessarily seen in God making all things right again. Joseph was still a slave. Joseph still found himself a prisoner when he trusted in God's presence with him. Also want you to notice that God's honoring of such faith is not seen in God suddenly making things better than what they were. Yes, Joseph did experience some success under Potiphar, but then he was made a prisoner and things got worse for him. I want you to notice that God's honoring of such faith is not necessarily seen in our lives, never going through moments like that again. As Joseph continues to go from messy situation to messy situation. No, God honors such faith in that no matter what comes our way, no matter how messy life gets for us, trusting in God's presence and his promises in our lives will get us through those times, will enable us to continue to walk in God's ways. Getting us through those times also enables us to continue to live for God. Live in a pure way, in the way God wants us to. Remember how Joseph found that temptation with Potiphar's wife, and yet he still remained true to his God. He still did not want to sin against God. Faith in God's presence with us enables us to remain pure, to remain walking in the ways God wants us to. God honors such faith by enabling us also to grow in our relationship with him. Through those moments where life's messiness got to Joseph, he was still able to hold on to God. Again, as we see in that situation, he didn't want to sin against his master, but he didn't want to sin against God. God had become the one he was holding on to. God was the one that had become to him everything in those moments. And he didn't want to sin against God. He didn't want to disappoint God. And so he trusted in God's presence, and God enabled him to grow in his relationship with him. Friends, young people, tonight, life is messy. And if you haven't experienced the messiness of life yet, You're going to experience it, believe me. We all have our moments where we delight in, and we're going to have many moments that disappoint us. We'll experience those times like Joseph where we can't see God's presence because of the messiness of the situation we find ourselves in. But it's in those times, that God is with us. And He is committed to working out His purposes for our lives and all He desires for us to do in order to get through those moments, to grow in our relationship with Him, to be the people that He wants us to be, is to trust, is to believe that He is there, that He is working all things, even the mess that we find ourselves in, for our good and for His glory. When our lives fall in a messy heap, we don't have to feel sorry for ourselves and mope and grope around like no one cares for us, because God does. Young Joseph shows us that when God can't be seen in the things and situations that happen to us, trusting that He is right there with us enables us to get up again and find victory through those messy situations of life. Trusting in Him should be the key for us on Youth Day, as we're reminded of that messy situation and we're reminded of the messiness of life. If we're going to get through it, we better trust that God is with us, and He is. Let's pray together.